Well, good morning. As Gail mentioned, my name's James Bowden, and it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation. This time last week, I was taking a wedding on a beach in Tasmania, so thank you for the warm weather. I know it's all comparative, but it is warmer. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be here and just to be a part of your worship, to hear your singing. It has been very encouraging to me. I wouldn't blame any of you at all if you don't remember this, but I have been at this church four, five, six times over the years. I was trying to remember exactly how many. The first one was a few years ago. We actually came visiting as a youth group. Graham, I can remember a snippet of the sermon. That was the era, if that helps to... it was from a letter from Paul. I can remember that much at least. And then visiting a couple of times as well in my role as state youth minister, which I finished up a year and a half ago to start working full-time at Blackwood. Just to let you know a little bit about myself in that time as well, my wife Carly and I, we've managed to have two children. We've got a three-year-old. His name is Luke, and he is a lot of fun. I'm not bored, ever. And I'm very rarely sitting still, but that is excellent. And a one-year-old, his name is Ezra, who is just the cutest thing you will ever see. We would have loved to for them to all come along this morning. It didn't quite work out, unfortunately. But yes, we are living at Door Park and ministering at Blackwood, have been there for 3 years now, having a really good time doing that. So that's a little bit about me. Just before bring the word, I invite you to pray with me. Lord and God, we thank you that you have not left us as orphans, that you've given us your word and you've given us your spirit, both to teach us, to open up our hearts and minds, to be revealed to your truth, to be transformed into the likeness of your Son. And we ask that you would do that this morning through these words, as meager as they are, that you would take them and use them for your sake and the sake of your kingdom. You've heard the theme for this morning, true hope. The reason I wanted to talk about true hope is I want to suggest, and I don't think this will be controversial, that hope is vital for being a human being, for just getting through life. And if it's vital for being a human being, it's almost twice as vital for following Jesus. Paul, in the reading that we heard earlier, tells us exactly why we need hope, why hope is so important. And it kind of boils down to this. It's because, again, as you know, life can be really hard. This world can be hard. In fact, Paul uses a metaphor, an image, which is just a little bit more vivid than that. He says, living in this world, living in a world that is fallen, that is subject to decay, where things go wrong, where evil has a presence, can be a little bit like the pain of giving birth. He uses this wonderful, vivid image of labor pains. That can be a little bit what it is like living in this world as a Christian. Before my wife gave birth, I was very, very naive as to what labor was like. I had a plan. I had some DVDs set aside. I was going to watch a little bit of television, maybe get a little bit of reading done in the early stages. That was silly. I learned that very, very quickly. But I can now assure you that having been present for two births, that I still don't really know that much about what it's like to go through birth. But I do know enough to get where Paul is coming from with this metaphor. And I think it's actually very, very accurate. It's an excellent metaphor that he uses for this life. Because there's something about labor, there's a part of it that is actually joyful, or at least an expectant joy. Because you know the reason you're going through labor is because you're about to meet your baby. This new life, this great potential, this little bundle of joy. And life is like that. We live in expectation of what God will reveal for us and appreciating the little moments of joy that we get in the meantime as well. But on the other hand, labor is very painful. so painful at times, in fact, that sometimes it can leave you wondering whether it's possible to get through. It can leave you wondering whether you're going to make it, and we know that life can be like that sometimes as well. When I think of this balance, this kind of this joy and this pain, I'm often reminded of C.S. Lewis, the British theologian and thinker. He lived most of his life as a bachelor, very contented bachelor, never super interested in getting married, everything was okay. Then a lady got in touch with him from the United States. Her name was Joy Davidson. She'd read some of his writings and had become a Christian through reading him and wanted to connect with him when she came to the UK. So they met up and they became friends. She was very smart. He was very intelligent as well. So they made a connection through that way, and a friendship really blossomed. And then, as often happens, the friendship turned into a romance. And they ended up getting civilly married so that she could stay in the country. They were married in the church a little bit later on. He describes the absolute joy of this time with Joy a little bit later in his journals. He talks about this overwhelming happiness, that it was just almost crushing the burden of how good things were for him at that time. Sadly, just after they got married, Joy had a pain in her hip, and the doctors soon found out that it was an inoperable bone cancer. And it was only 3 years later, still in the prime of their romance, still this really precious time of their love, where she died. In that same journal, he wrote that this crushed him so much, that joy, that happiness he felt just so recently, that presence of God which just overwhelmed him, he just in that pain, he struggled to feel it at all at that time. This is what it is like to live in a world which, as Paul describes it, is subject to decay. Moments of joy, moments of happiness, of looking forward, but also a lot of pain as well. As human beings, when we encounter pain, I think one of the things that we go to first, one of the ways we deal with it, I think is to try and explain it away. Maybe we tell ourselves that, oh, this life is just temporary and it doesn't really hurt that much, so it doesn't matter. Or maybe we tell ourselves that it's making us a better person, so it's really good for us, so it doesn't matter. It's not really hurting me that much. I work with a colleague who his way of dealing with a cold is to tell himself and everyone around him that he's getting over a cold. So he pretends that he never really has a cold, and that kind of makes him feel better about it. And I think that's something that we often think we should do when it comes to pain. Or maybe we bring some theology to it. Maybe we think about this thing that's happened that we're struggling with, and we convince ourselves, we tell ourselves it is because God wanted it. Because maybe there's something he wanted to get from it. This temptation when it comes to dealing with pain, with interpreting it away, with trying to say that it's what God wants, it makes sense. I think it's a natural, but Paul gives us a different way to deal with pain, and that's to hope. He says, when you came to faith, you weren't given a way of interpreting away your pain. He says, when you came to faith, you weren't given this way of just pretending, this attitude that you just live with it. You just deal with it. You weren't given that. Instead, when you came to faith, you were given a promise. You were given the promise that although it hurts now, it will get better. It won't go on forever. This promise throughout the Bible is described so vividly, perhaps no more vividly than at the end of the New Testament in the book of Revelation, as the author of Revelation describes their vision of God's new world, this time when he will set everything right. And so he writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the throne, home of God, is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." In our reading, Paul says this, that when we enter into this new world, a place where there is no longer any sickness or pain, where all the bereavements and the broken relationships and the missed opportunities are undone and everything is set right, that it will be so magnificent, so marvelous, that the suffering that we experience now will seem insignificant in comparison. Sticking with the childbirth metaphor, it will be like that moment when you hold your new baby for the first time, and you're healthy and they're healthy, and even though you just went through 20 hours of labor and there were points in that where you were in so great a pain that you literally thought you couldn't make it, even though there were moments where you just couldn't hope because it was too crushing what was going on, even though there were points where you would have bet everything you had on the fact that this wouldn't end well, even though you just went through that terrible moment when you're holding that baby and you're seeing that baby for the first time, kind of just fades away a little. And you think, of course it was going to be all right. Maybe this is what you need to hear this morning. Maybe you're going through something tough, have been for your whole life. This is a church. I know you're real people, so I know there's a bunch of people here who are experiencing that. And maybe you needed to hear, maybe you needed to be reminded at that moment when, as he promised, God sets everything right, what he did for Jesus, raising him from the dead, he does for all of us, that will be of such exceeding joy that you'll be hard-pressed to fully remember what the suffering was like. Maybe that's what you need to hear. Maybe that will give you the hope to keep on going, to put one foot in front of the other today. Or maybe you struggle to hear that. Maybe you're so angry about the pain. Maybe you're so angry about the presence of evil. You're so upset it makes so little sense that you just don't want to hear that right now. There were times when my wife was in labor and me saying to her, "Think about when you're going to hold the baby. It's not going to go on forever." And there were times when her hearing that was what she needed to keep on going. It would give her the hope. There were other times I could tell that if I said that to her, she'd be tempted to slap me so hard I could see next Tuesday. So there are times when we need to hear things like this and times when we struggle to hear it. Do you know what? It doesn't actually matter. Because either way, it's true. Either way, what's awaiting us is this great new world, and when we arrive, the glory that is waiting for us the suffering we currently experience won't even compare to the glory awaiting us. That's our hope. That's what we cling to. That's what gives us the strength to get through. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this hope. I thank you for this hope which has been poured out to us in the confidence we have in the resurrection of your Son, that you stamped on history in that point in time your promise that nothing, not even death, can defeat you, and that you'll set everything right. For those who need to hear that and welcome this with joy this morning, I pray that that truth would sink into their hearts, that they would know that your new world will be like holding that baby. And we'll suddenly realize that everything's all right. I pray especially for those people who can't even hear that this morning. The pain, the suffering, the place they're in at the moment is just too severe, that they struggle to cling to that. With good people around them, Spirit, continue to heal their hearts, I pray. Just bring them to a place where they can have that hope again, we ask. We thank you so much for this truth. We thank you for all you are, for all you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.